Sisters, welcome back to She Is Becoming. We are a podcast of multi-generational women studying God's Word together, dedicated to being transformed by the renewing of our minds. You can find our episodes on culture, doctrine, church history, and more on whatever podcast platform you typically use. And make sure that you follow our podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you can get notifications when we post a new episode, which is every other Monday. And if you follow us on Instagram at She's Becoming Podcast, you can get additional episode resources and engage with us on there. Well, I am your co-host, Delaney, and I am here in the studio with my co-host, Bev.
Hey, Delaney.
Hi.
You sound tired.
Do I look tired? Because that's more what I care about. Just kidding.
You look beautiful as always.
I am tired.
Are you tired? You've had a big week.
Yeah, Jax is starting school tomorrow, so I'm probably going to be like a floodgate of emotions tomorrow, or maybe it'll be like delayed emotions for a week and then I'll cry because my baby's so big.
Yeah. Well, that's how in your first one, your third one, you leave the bus clapping.
Yeah. Like, get out. go. Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah. You're ready. But I get that feeling. That's sweet. Well, Delaney, I know you spend a lot of time in God's Word, and what has been a theme? What's He been speaking to you about lately?
The Lord has been working on me a lot lately with, that I need to see other people more. Mm. We were just talking about this. Just has revealed some things, some traits, I think, about my personality. Not that your personality is never an excuse for you to do things that you shouldn't do or sin. But just things that maybe don't come natural to me as much.
Sure.
And so the Lord has been really like, hey, you, when you walk into a room, you need to think about how can I serve? How can I love this other person? And my mind is usually up in, the clouds thinking about concepts and ideas and all of these connections that I've been making in my brain, because my brain works literally all the time, which is not a bad thing, but also like we need to love the person in front of us and, you know, I want to be a good witness. And so the Lord's just been working on me on that. So,
yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, having a self-awareness is very important. It's a huge life skill. And understanding your personality and where you need to improve is super important. And being aware of how other people perceive you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how you're coming across. You may not realize, gee, she's cold or she's this or she's that. You need to have that self-awareness in order to relate well to people.
Yeah, and it's like not an obsession with how you're perceived. No, but there's
not.
Like for me, I don't really think about how I'm perceived often. And so just thinking about like, okay, like if I am a reflection of Christ and I'm a witness and I want to love the body well, like I do need to be thinking
about it
in a healthy way.
Exactly.
So the Lord's just been.
You're a representative. You're an ambassador.
Ambassador. That makes me sound so fancy.
You are fancy.
I'm an ambassador.
You're an ambassador.
Thank you so much. Okay. Well, let's get into our episode. It has been said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die.
Yeah, that's an old quote, but that really does say it, doesn't it?
It does. That's a powerful quote. So think back to a time that you were challenged to forgive someone. Do you find that you need to do some maintenance on that forgiveness?
Mm.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Old feelings can creep in and we need to remind ourselves how to forgive again. Or perhaps you are in the middle of relational hurt that is very painful right now and you're just wondering, will it ever get better? Will I always feel this way? Or maybe you're waiting for the person to come to you and apologize and admit their wrongdoing and before you are willing to forgive them. Maybe you feel like your forgiveness of them is dependent on that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you questioning how do you forgive? Why forgive? And does forgiveness let the other person off the hook? And do we then need to go back into the relationship with the one or the people who hurt us? All of these are really great questions. And there are things that we deal with a lot.
We do.
Often.
We do. This is, again, you started out with relational things.
Yeah.
It's, relational skills are so important. And forgiveness is something that God is very important to the Lord, obviously, that he sent his son that we could experience it and be rightly related to him. And it also helps us to be rightly related to each other.
Yeah.
So it's crucial.
It's
crucial to understand this very basic tenet of our faith, which is forgiveness. There's receiving forgiveness. So we're going to go through these five topics: receiving forgiveness, how to forgive, the joy to maintain forgiveness, I'm sorry, the fight to maintain forgiveness.
Yeah.
It is a fight.
And a joy maybe too.
And we're going to talk about the joy of forgiveness, obviously. And then we're going to take an honest look at where we are in our forgiveness journey.
Yeah.
So we begin with what Scripture says on this topic. In Matthew 6, to put this verse into context, Jesus has just finished teaching the Lord's Prayer, and this was to be an example of how we were to pray. Part of that prayer was this: forgive us our debts. Our sin is a debt toward God's, as we also forgive our debtors, those who have sinned against us. After Jesus finished, he reiterates that part of the Lord's Prayer by saying this. This is not part of the Lord's Prayer. This is his teaching after the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is a very alarming verse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think misconstrued
very
easily, but serious, sobering
verse. Is this saying? Here's the big question. If we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. Is that what that's saying?
Is it?
No.
I'm deferring to you. Please answer.
Yes, but you have to listen closely.
Yeah. Yeah.
We cannot get God's forgiveness by forgiving others.
Yeah, that'd be a work.
That would be a work, right. That would make forgiveness of sin by us, given by us. We'd be our own savior.
Yeah, yeah.
Ridiculous. So that is not what he's saying. We are saved or forgiven only by God's grace through Christ and his blood that paid the penalty for our sins. We cannot earn it by forgiving someone. That would be a good work, as you said. So I hope this helps. So that wasn't what he was saying. So what is he saying? As God gives us faith that originates with him, then we are able to believe in Christ. So goes forgiveness. If we have genuinely received forgiveness from God, then that forgiveness in us will be evident as we relate to others. The source of any forgiveness in us is God himself.
Yeah.
God in us can give us the power to forgive. As works are an evidence of faith, according to the book of James, so forgiveness given by us is evidence of forgiveness we've received ourselves.
Yeah. That's a way that in sanctification, it always goes back to our salvation. This is like a way that it does that. Like, we have been forgiven, and so out of the forgiveness that we've been given, we should want to forgive other people, because God did not have to forgive us,
exactly,
but he did.
Exactly. We aware of our own unworthiness to be forgiven should help us to forgive. But it doesn't often. It's hard.
Yeah.
Jesus taught a parable also on forgiveness. And this is also found in Matthew in chapter 17. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. The parable is preceded by Peter asking the Lord, how many times should we forgive someone who sins against him? Now, the religious leaders of the day taught three times. You give them grace three times, and after that, you know, no more forgiveness. Peter, thinking he's really generous here, suggests, should I forgive my enemy seven times? And Jesus answered Peter, saying, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, always forgive.
Yeah, don't count to whatever that is, 144, I'm bad at math, and then stop.
That's a pretty high standard. Then he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and he tells the parable. A king was going to settle his account, so he calls in his servants, and he's making due on their debts. So he calls in one servant who owes this huge, big-time, impossible debt, like beyond what he could ever earn in a lifetime. The servant begs for mercy and forgiveness, and so the king took pity on him and forgave him this great debt. But then the servant, who is forgiven, goes out, grabs a fellow who owes him a few bucks, and demands payment. And the man says, I'll pay you back. Give me until tomorrow, whatever. But then this servant throws this other guy who owes him a few bucks into debtor's prison. When the king found out about this, he had that servant imprisoned. The final statement Jesus said is this: This is how my Heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
So this is a command.
This is a command, and Jesus is very serious about this. If we have truly experienced this kind of massive forgiveness on our own life,
right.
and then we turn around and are not as generous with our forgiveness to others, mm-hmm. that shows that that was not we don't have that genuine relationship with him. We have no concept of being truly forgiven then.
Yeah, or that we maybe don't care as much as we should that we were forgiven.
The point is, when we fully realize how much God has forgiven us, we will in turn show God's generous grace to others in humility. Our new nature in us will show itself in a willingness to forgive others. Christ lives in us, and Christ has said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Forgiveness for us cost Christ his blood, his very life. Your forgiveness of others will be costly too. Mm-hmm. Costly in laying down these things: your desire for revenge, your pride, your justification, and it will also mean laying down your constant turmoil. Because to live with unforgiveness in your heart is to live in turmoil.
It is that poison that
it
we
is.
Started.
It
with.
Is. Yeah. Well, there's more biblical illustrations of this, Delaney. Why don't you take us to that?
Yeah, we're going to talk about receiving forgiveness. So I want to go to 1 Timothy 1:12-16 first. We all need forgiveness, right? On so many levels. But in this passage, Paul says, "Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." I just love the way that he phrased that, because it just shows that Paul had such humility when he talked about the grace that he received from Christ. He was remembering his own sin, and remembering God's grace really kept Paul at this position of humility. And so receiving forgiveness starts with a humble spirit like Paul had. It is being aware that I am a sinner, the worst sinner, and I need the grace and forgiveness of God that he generously offers us. So now I want to move on to this parable from Luke 18:8-14, and listen to this parable, because it also kind of explains this disposition that we ought to have that really helps us to receive this forgiveness that God initiates. So there was a Pharisee and a tax collector who respond to this posed question: "When the Son of Man, Jesus, comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So Jesus was telling this parable to those who were confident in their own righteousness and their own works, and thus looked down on everybody else. And the Pharisee, in response to this question, prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." I had a little chuckle at that little prayer.
Yeah.
The Pharisee clearly thought of himself as superior to everyone else that he mentioned, and was relying on his own works to gain righteousness. But then listen to this disposition of the tax collector who prays. It says that the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus then responds and talks in this parable and says, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Ooh, I read that, and that was so convicting to me. I was like, do I stand before God with that kind of humble disposition like Isaiah had in Isaiah 6, where I'm like, "Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." So the first step to receiving forgiveness is understanding that you need it. So simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple, but that I am
true.
The worst, that mm-hmm. I need it.
Yeah.
And it's so simple, but how often do we stop, analyze our day-to-day actions, and really see our sin for what it is? Or how often do we compare our sin to other people's? And if we feel like maybe theirs is worse, we don't ask for forgiveness.
True.
So ask the Holy Spirit to help you see your sin and enable a humble disposition in you, and ask for the forgiveness that God is faithful to forgive. This comparison just hit home for me, because I was just like, it's receiving forgiveness. You have to be humble, because receiving forgiveness shows that you're needy.
Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to be needy.
Nobody wants to be needy. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to rely on our own work Yeah. And our own righteousness. We want a Pharisee.
Yeah. We can be a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. We can count on our religious activity and ignore the sin in our life and not come to God in humble repentance, seeking his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. So receiving forgiveness.
Yeah, it is a big one. Yeah. And now.
Giving.
This is hard too. Yeah. Giving forgiveness to others. Mm-hmm. You know, when the world outside the church sees forgiveness through God's people, it astounds them. Mm. We've all seen stories on the news where this particular loved one was killed by this particular person, and now these people whose loved one died goes and tries to, you know, talk to this person who did this, and there's forgiveness there. It's just like the mouth of the world just flies open, like, how's that possible? You should hate them and want to kill them, and, you know, when we, through the power of Christ in us, forgive, we show the world the gospel of Jesus Christ, who loved and died for sinners to be forgiven. We really put Christ on display.
That's in that way
as we give forgiveness.
And that makes forgiveness outer-worldly. It is not something that we are able to all, we can't do that within ourselves. It's only what Christ can do in us.
Through us, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we set ourselves free from the burden of wanting to get even or punishing them. Through Christ, we can leave our enemies in God's hands, who alone says has the right to avenge. Mm-hmm. To begin the process, first of all, we have to admit to God your weakness to forgive. Ask for his power, his desire to forgive, his forgiveness to you. Understanding that, as you have said so beautifully, mm-hmm. that really should help us. But then, does forgiveness mean a reconciled relationship? A lot of times people will not forgive because they cannot and perhaps even should not have a relationship with this person again.
For sure.
Not always do we have forgiveness and reconciliation in the same situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there is forgiveness and there is no reconciliation for good reasons.
Yeah.
Sometimes death. Sometimes you have to go through a process of forgiveness for someone who has died. You can't have reconciliation. Yeah. Or sometimes this person is not right to have in your life.
Yeah.
And because there's no repentance, the bad situation continues. But yet you can forgive even in that. Mm-hmm. Not always can we have forgiveness and have them be back as a part of our life.
Yeah, let's just make that really clear.
Really clear. Pastor Troy taught on forgiveness quite a few years ago, and I still kept my notes from that. So mm-hmm. I went back to it, and he started the message on forgiveness with, he says, these are five things forgiveness is not. It is not forgetting the offense. Hmm. It is not the approval of the sin or the hurt. It is not reconciliation. It is not blindness to the sin, and it's not pretending it never happened.
Yeah. Well, that happens, I think, a lot of times with, like, more traumatic experiences. Like, we think that if we forgive, that means, like, okay, it's over and this person is getting off the hook and, I'm never going to think about this again. And that's not true. Like, forgiveness is not a one time, I forgive this person for this experience that I had and then it's over. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is I have to continuously, I'm forgiving. Like, it's a continuous journey of forgiving.
It is.
And it's not going right back into relationship. Forgiveness is not unboundaried, right? Like, there's still boundaries in forgiveness and healthy things that you need to put in place. That's biblical.
Yeah. You know, there's a passage in Luke that I recently read, which really caused me to question, does giving my forgiveness depend on the ability of the enemy to repent of their sin? Ooh. So in other words, if they're not repentant, then I don't have to forgive them. But listen to this verse, and that's the thought you can take away from this if you don't take it and put it into context with the rest of Scripture. So let me read you what Luke 17 says. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times a day, and seven times comes back to you, says, I repent, you must forgive them. Then the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
Yeah. So now when I think about this teaching of Jesus, I really see myself. How many times a day do I falter? How often do I confess the same sin? I expect God to forgive me if I confess and want to repent and change. Is this what God is asking us to do toward each other? Is Jesus letting us off the hook to forgive because the other party has not repented or had a change of heart or action? We got to look at this more closely. First, it says to rebuke the brother who sins against you. You can't pretend it didn't happen. That is not forgiveness. Or pretend it didn't hurt you. That's not forgiveness. We are to speak the truth in love, keeping in mind our own weaknesses towards sin. Loving honesty is necessary to keep any relationship alive. If they repent, Jesus says you must forgive, even if it's repeated. Yet remember, this is not a command to stay in relationship. That can only happen when there is true repentance and change in sin by both parties. However, we still must forgive, even if we cannot have a restored relationship. We forgive because we have been forgiven by God. We forgive for our own welfare and healing. It becomes a block between us and God.
Yeah.
I was once told this story when I was having to go through this messy process of forgiveness. This person said to me, if a burglar came into your house, Delaney, and just trashed it, would you just leave it there until that burglar came back and put it all back together for you? Would you just leave it like that? No. If someone comes along and hurts you and causes you to have to go through this process of forgiveness, you don't wait till they come back and try to make everything right before you go through forgiveness. And that just made so much sense to me.
Yeah, that's a powerful image. Would you say then that forgiveness, I know sometimes forgiveness means that we're having conversations with people and we're working through it with them if there's been an offense. But sometimes, you know, we're not able to that, like we talked about, or sometimes we shouldn't talk to them about that. Kind of depends on the situation. But so would you say forgiveness is something that's more internal, like for our own heart in those situations?
It is between us and the Lord. It's also between us and others. But we can't, sometimes we think it's just between me and that other person, but we don't realize that the Lord, it's an offense to the Lord. You are offending the Lord with your unforgiveness because he is so forgiving and gracious, and you've experienced such forgiveness and graciousness from his hand. And then for you to turn around and not forgive someone else, it's to our own detriment, and it's an offense.
That's a good way to put that. Well, we have an example of giving forgiveness that I want to go through from the life of Joseph. So we're going to be in Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. We can learn a lot about forgiveness from this story.
Can't we?
Joseph was super mistreated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery.
Thrown into a pit, hated.
They were so mean to him, too, if you read the story. You know, and then he was, you know, sold off into slavery without his parents' knowledge. He was away from his family. They wanted to kill him, his brothers, actually. And one brother had some semblance of compassion and was like, well, let's not kill him. We'll just sell him. And then, you know, what God did in the life of Joseph was God positioned him to be, you know, bought as a slave in the home of a wealthy, powerful man in Egypt. And through a series of events, Joseph was wrongfully imprisoned, and then he was released and then positioned to influence the king of all of Egypt. And then Joseph kind of becomes his right-hand man. So Joseph's story is very, there's lots of up and downs here. It was very, there's a lot of pain in it. Yet Joseph remained faithful to God, and he really grew into a man of character. You can kind of see that progression, that God used that pain and that suffering to really grow him into a godly man. And so while Joseph was number two in Egypt and managing this food situation through a drought, God orchestrated a series of situations in order to reconcile Joseph to his family. And so in Genesis 50, 15 through 21, we see that after being reunited with his brothers and father, their father died, and Joseph's brothers were worried that Joseph would hold a grudge against them and not forgive them. And so they told Joseph that their father's last words before he died, his deathbed words, were that he said, this is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father. And so Joseph's response when the brothers tell him this is he weeps. And there's this really powerful scene where his brothers actually fall down before Joseph and they repent of what he did to him. And they
remember his vision earlier, too.
Yeah. And they say, we are your slaves. Which to me, that's just such a powerful statement because they were the ones that sold him into slavery.
Right.
And so that statement
there's repentance.
Full of repentance in that statement. And so Joseph's brothers were afraid. I think partly there was a fear of his position. You know, he is now a really powerful man in Egypt. They're afraid that maybe he wouldn't forgive him, turn against him. But I think there's also this relational fear of like, our father is dead. Our father loved Joseph and there was this relational distance with him. And I think, you know, there was a hardship in that too, that you can kind of feel when you're reading that passage. And so, you know, one of my favorite verses in scripture, Joseph says to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. And so Joseph's forgiveness of his brothers ultimately foreshadows God's forgiveness of our sins through the cross. And when we forgive others, that is what we are doing. We are reflecting the forgiveness that we have received through Christ. And I think in Joseph's situation, it does end with reconciliation. And that was something that God totally orchestrated the events of that. But that's not always, you know, the outcome. It's not always reconciliation. But I think we can still reflect the forgiveness that we have received in Christ. Even if it doesn't mean reconciliation, It's the way that maybe we talk about the situation. It's the way that when we talk about that person, like there's still evidence of it. I think even if we don't see it in the way that we see it in the life of Joseph in reconciliation. And then I think people notice it in us too. Like if I haven't forgiven someone, you might notice a coldness towards them or a bitterness in me towards them or when I speak about a situation or whatever. And so there's still evidence of the fruit of that, even if it doesn't mean reconciliation.
Yeah, but this is a beautiful example of reconciliation. Well, now we're going to talk about the fight to maintain forgiveness. You know, the anger, the sense of injustice, the deep hurts will most of the time resurface even after you have decided to forgive.
Yeah.
It may be something from a long time ago that you thought you kind of put behind you and it kind of resurfaces on you. Here is where we see the need for repeated forgiveness as well. This is why Jesus, when he talked about forgiveness, talked about the repetition because it does kind of back up on us again and again. Maybe you have a new hurt that springs up or a memory and you feel those old feelings again. You need to review scripture on the topic, listening for God to guide you. Here is where I call the whack-a-mole comes in. Have you ever played that game,
yes.
Delaney? Whack-a-mole?
Yeah, and Jax likes that game too.
Jack, you like whack-a-mole?
He has his
earphones on. Okay. Whack-a-mole is this little game where you take this little club and you hit a mole on the head and they keep popping up and you get so many points when you hit so many moles. And I think that is what happens with our forgiveness. Oftentimes the mole pops up again and we have to whack it again with the truth of God's word, of what he said, of what he expects from us. We kind of have to go through the process again of forgiving.
Forgiving.
Forgiving. It's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And here is how I handle this, because I do have issues like this. I remind myself that I have forgiven and affirm that again. I have forgiven this. I remind myself of letting God handle it from here. I entrust this whole situation, this person. I cannot change this person or even most circumstances. Mm-hmm. I have to review my expectations and be realistic, or your disappointment will have no end. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think, well, if we forgive this person, we're going to have this great relationship with this person.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe you can have some kind of relationship, but it just can't be maybe all that you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So you have to have realistic expectations. Just because you've forgiven doesn't mean the relationship is going to change.
Right.
I have to let it go and move on, not letting what this person does ruin my day or lead me into sin. So if I still have to have exposure to this person, I have to kind of be on guard for this, that they are God's person, not me. I'm not in charge of this person. I cannot change this person. I have to be responsible for the forgiveness in my own heart. We need to pray for our enemy, pray for those we have a hard time forgiving, pray for their good and their blessing, and that will help you maintain that forgiveness as well. That's a club That's a way to whack the mole back into place by praying for them. It goes against our nature. You may not feel like it or want to do it, but do it and for their good and their blessing, and it will help you keep those moles from popping up.
Keep them underground.
Delaney, well, could you give us just an example of how you have maintained forgiveness or the joy of forgiveness?
Yeah, attempting to. Mine usually happens in the form of triggers, actually. You know, there's some trauma that I've experienced, and we've all experienced trauma, but we get like triggered by it, which means we get reminded, it's prompted, it's brought to the forefront by, it could be by anything. For me, it's like sometimes if I'm driving by something and I remember an experience, I can be triggered. And so that kind of brings up maybe unforgiveness, or I can feel my mind starting to wander into bitterness or hatred towards that person, or maybe not trusting the Lord with that person. And so for me, I think about it in two ways. I love what you said about that I have reminding myself I've already forgiven them, which is something that I do. But I love that I love how you phrase that I've forgiven them, but I'm still forgiving them.
Right.
For me, it's both. Like at the same time, I have forgiven them, and then it's Spirit, help me continuously keep that commitment, because I do think there's a level of commitment when you forgive someone that you're going back to, of like, I've forgiven them, but I'm also forgiving them.
Right.
That's how I think about it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And then, you know, we also want to talk about the joy of forgiveness, Delaney. Mm-hmm. There is joy in this, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about a lot of the pain in it, but there is definitely, forgiveness gives joy. First, the forgiveness that we receive through God's grace and the faith that he gives us to believe in Christ brings joy. Christ took our deserved punishment on the cross, securing for us forgiveness of past, present, and even future sins. So in that sense, we've also been forgiven, and God still forgives us.
Yes.
And so then he gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us, who assures us of that forgiveness, which I think is really key. Like, the Spirit reminds us that we have been forgiven.
It does.
And so 1 Peter 1:8 says that though you have seen him, you love him.
Though you have not seen him.
Oh, sorry. Though you have not seen him, you love him. That would change the meaning of that verse. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and refilled with inexpressible and glorious joy. And as believers, when we sin, we can pray with David, who said that after his fall into sin, Psalm 51, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant to me a willing spirit to sustain me. So there is also joy in our forgiveness of others. When we have not truly forgiven from the heart, we will have kind of what I call a background noise in our lives. Like we can feel this kind of unresolved conflict and unforgiveness just creep around in our daily life, usually when we're still. Like when you're sleeping, eating, when you're, you know, having like a peaceful moment, it kind of creeps up. And so maybe you think that you
even how we relate to others, Delaney.
Yeah.
That unforgiveness can come out as a bitterness, a sharp tone.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So maybe you think, I know I've experienced this, like you think you've forgiven, but you have this continued noise affecting you underneath, and you're having a hard time having joy. Forgiveness sets us free from that. From that noise and that disruption. Forgiveness heals and restores where sin has broken you. It may take time, even a lot of time, for all the healing and joy that forgiveness brings, but it does come. There is hope in that. Like, I know for me, I think time, like the Lord uses time in such a powerful way where sometimes, it just takes some time to kind of get to that place where you feel that freedom from that noise and that disruption, but there's hope, like it's coming.
Yes, it is. And the Lord knows your heart, that you want that, and you express that to him, and he will enable you to get there. Mm-hmm. But it is a process. Sometimes not. But
sometimes
a lot of times
is.
It depends on the hurt.
Totally.
You know, major hurts really take a long time to heal, and this process of whacking the mole with scripture and knowing that you've been forgiven, and you have to use all these tools in your toolbox that the Lord gives you to to help you continue that forgiveness, to continue to walk in it.
Yeah, and I think you can forgive and still be hurt by something, but that hurt won't control you.
Right.
It's not going to ruin your day. It's not gonna take control over your mind and bring you into anxiety. I think you can still be hurt by that, but you can still forgive and find, you know, the Lord will help
right.
you move on.
And even though you've been hurt, sometimes when we've been hurt, we start hurting other people who had nothing to do with why you're hurt.
Hurt people.
And so, you know, this is why, again, forgiveness is so key.
It's a cycle breaker.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Break those chains. Mm-hmm. I know my personal example of forgiveness, I had a brother I had to forgive. And it was a big deal. It was a big deal. But I chose to forgive, and I walked through the painful process of forgiving, and we actually have been reconciled now. We actually have a real relationship. I love him. He loves me. We have prayed together. We have read scripture together. So there really is a reconciliation. However, there is always yet in my mind where it cannot be reconciled 100% like it never happened.
Right,
I don't
right.
pretend it never happened, but yet I have a very good relationship with a brother that had sinned against me. So it's possible, not always. I do know I've seen situations where this cannot be reconciled.
Yeah, and it shouldn't.
It shouldn't be reconciled.
Some shouldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is where you need good, godly counsel, and you need people who can help you walk that process as well.
Yeah.
So let's do a little evaluation here at the end. Where are you in your process of forgiveness? Have you forgiven from the heart? If we still want to see harm come to our enemies, have we really forgiven? If we are still reliving the hurt constantly, have we really been healed by the process of forgiveness?
Ooh, that's good.
Forgiveness can take time, and it is a process. Like, you know, we've said, you forgive, but then you go on in the process of forgiveness. It is a process, but it's also a decision of obedience. Mm-hmm. It's a decision of obedience, forgiveness. If we hang on to our unforgiveness, we harm ourselves. That's where we started today. We rob ourselves of peace. We rob ourselves of the ability to move on. Do you want to be that person with unforgiveness in the background of your life, zapping your energy, causing you to not to relate well to others, interfering with your relationship with God? It's not worth it.
You don't want to be stuck.
And unforgiveness, you're stuck. So once again, forgiveness will take time. It is a process, but it's a decision of obedience. We want to kind of end on that thought. Mm-hmm. And we want to end on the thought that we want to move on in our life. We don't want to be stuck.
Yeah, we don't want to be stuck. No. Well, let me pray for us.
Thank you, Nalini.
Oh, God, thank you for the forgiveness that you've given us, that we did not deserve, that you have poured out for us, that you have forgiven us at salvation, that you continually forgive us. Lord, is just... your grace is just so, so astounding. I pray that we would be in awe of that today, that it would start there, that we would be in awe of the forgiveness that you have given us. And then, Lord, I pray that you would, that your spirit would just work in our hearts and in the hearts of our listeners of where they have not forgiven someone. I pray that you would bring that up, that you would help them to walk through the steps of forgiveness, that you would bring godly counsel into their life to make boundary, you know, decisions if those need to happen, Lord, and that they wouldn't be stuck in their unforgiveness, God. We pray that you would do that in them. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it was great to be with you, sisters. Join us in 2 Mondays on She Is Becoming.